Welcome to Travis Bites. I'm David Roy, and today we have a wonderful episode. It's a Q&A session with John Travis. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure having you on. So today we're just going to be running through some questions that have been submitted from our listeners.
That sounds dangerous.
Oh, wait, it'll be fine. It'll be all right. We're going to have a good time.
Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. So let's just hop right on in here. So first question right out of the gate, what are the services that each company offers here at Travis Companies?
So we have two main things that we do, two divisions, if you will. One is commercial painting. We do have a residential painting section within that, so kind of a division within a division. But in general, hospitals, hotels, schools, lease spaces, inside, outside. Here in our corner of the world in South Texas, we're going to end up doing the tape and floating as well. We do vinyl wall covering within the paint division, different textures, and sometimes we'll do faux finishing, staining. But that's the type of capabilities and services. Often people, it may be as small as somebody's door at their house that you might be doing, or we might have some project that we've got, 20 to 30, 40 people on, and we may be there almost for a year. So the projects vary in size, but in general, majority of it is commercial with some residential thrown in there. In the painting side, it's over 100-year history. I'm the fifth generation to do it since 1886. Many of our wonderful craftspeople have been with us for 15, 20 years with me, some of them even beyond that with the family, with the generation above me. So a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge that we can use to solve our customers' problems and perform a good paint job. On the millwork side, also predominantly commercial, although we will do some residential. Same types of projects, hospitals, hotels, restaurants, a lot on that side. Retail stores, those types of projects. Here we do multiple phases. So we're going to do what we would call boxes, traditional laminate or veneered cabinets. We're going to do countertops, whether they be laminate or acrylic or stone or wood veneer, post-formed or not. We're going to do, we have a metal shop here. So a lot of restaurants, hotel lobbies, for example, casinos, things like that will incorporate metal into their projects. We may incorporate glass, trim, panels, conference tables, custom items, you name it within a wood function, whether it's a traditional laminated cabinet or what you might consider architectural millwork, we're going to do that. We can service this region. We have a facility both in San Antonio and Austin, and we can service within Texas. We also make a lot of things, and we ship them all over the country. We've been in almost every state. I say that. I don't know that we've been in Montana or Idaho. But we might make it. We might ship it. We might install it. We might not. We might pre-finish it in our stain facility. We might not. Also, on the paint side, we have a maintenance division that works with large corporations or small, providing maintenance painting, service orders. People may call, go paint graffiti or go fix this wall. On the millwork side, we also, on the finishing side, we do a lot of things that aren't true millwork related, but they're finishing related to service restaurants or different lumber companies or door companies, for example, may ship their product to us. We may pre-finish it for them, and then from us it may go to the job site. So that's kind of the capabilities. Within the millwork side, there's an engineering department that literally will take two-dimensional drawings and create them in 3D and interface with, there's a lot of robots here. I think all told, there's what, 5, 6 different CNC operated machineries. And all those things have to be talked to through a programming aspect. So our engineers both draw, design some of them. Some of them do both. And then they also engineer things. So a full capability shop on the millwork side.
How many people currently work at J. Travis Painting and Travis Millwork overall?
It's fluctuated before COVID. You could pretty much count on, we didn't fluctuate much at all. The last, 2.5, 3 years here, we've been up and down within a range. I think at the moment there's 132, I think as of yesterday, I believe, scattered between Austin, San Antonio, painting, millwork, in the plants, in the field, in the office, but a little over 130 of us at the moment.
130 of us at the moment between every single department, every single company.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, we'll use subs as kind of a buffer to supplement crews to help support. If we need a larger crew, you know, some of the things that are difficult to plan for is that you never know exactly. A project may have the best schedule in the world. The reality is part of the challenge we face is it never happens exactly that way. So things end up, you think you have it all planned out exact, and then they may stack, right? Or conversely, they may accordion out. And so your labor needs, we try and be da-dun, the same over and over. And the reality is, you know, on any given day, you may need a gazillion folks on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you don't on a Thursday, Friday. So we, in addition to our folks, we'll use subcontractors as needed to help fill those buffers.
Right. Where do you see Travis Companies in the future?
Oh, good question. Well, I think we would take it by division. So within the painting division, my desire for painting is to do all things with excellence and be the best that we can be with who we are. In other words, we don't want to be the biggest, although, quite frankly, you're one of the biggest. We don't necessarily want to go everywhere, although for certain clients, we may travel even within the state of Texas. But in general, on the painting side, we want to stick to our knitting, and within our region, within our capabilities, within our zone, if that makes sense, within our stable of contractors who we want to support and take care of and who have supported and take care of us through the years, we want to do that well. We want to have an environment where we're training the next group of people up. We want to have an environment where we're predictable, meaning that despite all these fluctuations, for example, housing market, you know, they stop building new houses 3-4 months. Eventually, new starts stop. Those folks are all going to be wondering, what do we do next? I never wanted to do that. I wanted to have the ability and the amount of work to where if you came to work and we work together, that you know you got a job tomorrow and there's enough for everybody to do. And we spend an awful lot of time behind the scenes making sure that happens. Now, just because of inflation in the market, you got to grow a little bit every year just to stay at zero. And so that's what we want to do on the painting side. We want to grow just enough to where we can do all things with excellence, but we don't have desires to go and take over the moon on the paint side, if that makes sense.
Yes.
On the millwork side, maybe a slightly different story, where we're in phases and we're at a plateau stage now, which is when we expanded into Austin 2 or 3 years ago, we're still swallowing and figuring that out. We're still learning how to do that market, which is a little bit different. We're still learning as an organization how to not just crawl or walk, but to run together, and what does that look like? And so we had this expansion, and now especially COVID kind of made some of these decisions for us. But now we're at the, let's just do that well, right? Let's do it well, whatever region we're in, whether it's San Antonio, whether it's Austin, let's do that with excellence, just like painting. And the numbers will all take care of themselves, I believe. Once we figure that out, yeah, I think within millwork, there's a lot more opportunity, if you will, to do other things in different regions specifically. But I'm not in any hurry to do that this second.
I know we've talked about just kind of the general goals that we have for the company, but more specifically in 2023, because I know how you operate. I know that right now you're probably running through, you got a Rickeracker, firecracker, just goal setting meeting ready to roll. You're ready to just throw that pitch out there.
I wait till January to have all those meetings.
Uh-huh, yeah. Sure, but you got to plan it out, right? So I know it's coming.
You're looking for a preview.
Yeah, preview for 2023. What do we have as a company to look forward to specifically in the year 2023?
Well, again, I think it's by division. So on the paint side, we have been planning for years an education, I don't know if I'd call it a school, but an education program. When you were an intern way back then, mm-hmm. We were putting this together. We got input from everybody. We had instructors lined up. We had, you know, a basic class, if you will, that we wanted to put everybody through. And then we had different specializations.
Right.
Spraying, vinyl wall covering example, those kind of things. We've had that on the docket. I am hoping in this upcoming year to roll that out to everybody. We've had, since we did all that, we've had COVID, then we had labor issues, and then we got whacked with different things that were fires that we needed to put all our attention on to solve. And so my hope is things kind of have level set, if that's the way to say it, to where this upcoming year we can roll that out for folks. And that initiative is not just for each and every one of us that are here. So, for example, you know, you take Andy or, you know, Jesse or Benny or many of these people whom, you know, I grew up with. You know, what am I going to teach them? The reality is they know the job backwards and forwards. It's really for getting their knowledge and their way of doing it. They each have incredible ways that they approach a job, approach their craft. How do we get that information from them to not just other people that are in our family that maybe don't have their experience, but beyond that, as we get other folks in here, especially younger folks, how do we pass that on? So within 2023, trying to get that initiative launched and to where we're able to share that knowledge with newcomers that come in. And the other benefit in that is trying to, within that, have for our people a level set of, we know where somebody's at on the ladder of skill set, on the ladder of craftsmanship, on the ladder of leadership, if they're going to do that. So we know where people are at so that we can then help them both train and get the tools to move up the ladder. And then for people that are coming in, they can kind of see the path. The way it's worked historically is it's an apprenticeship deal in that we'll put them with somebody. And our hope is that they are absorbing those skills and learning and getting better, trying to formalize that process where there's formal training mixed with that apprenticeship, and that makes sense. That's on the painting side. Other than that, on the painting side, I'm not aware of any big revolution coming out that you and I can close our eyes or buy some machine that somehow make the job get painted. It's people. It's our skills. It's our craftspeople and their ability to get the job done. And we just want to help support them and then help build for the future. That's painting.
Right.
On the millwork side, we got all kind of stuff that some of them I'd put in that have to need to get done. We need to finish this facility. We got to finish our finishing department, for example. We need to finish the lobby,
please,
right?
Please,
that's
the
both
lobby.
A paint and a millwork thing. One is we hire people. They're like, hey, this seems kind of weird. But two is we just need to finish. We've had it since COVID, literally. We built this in COVID. Yeah. We just need to finish. So that's item one. And in Austin, the same issue. There's a wall that needs, you know, there's different things. It's kind of like the honey-do list. We need to finish the honey-do list, right? So there's that aspect.
Yeah.
On the millwork side, some training initiatives as well, although not planned out to the degree that millwork is, painting is. On the millwork side, a lot of technology things, both in our operations software, in our statistics, right, in our efficiency, utilizing that program for when we buy materials and our yields. There are a lot of things on the docket that are already happening that are very encouraging to help support both our craftspeople and the plants and facilities, our project managers, but also hopefully through that, maybe not have to work as hard to do the same amount. So a lot of efficiency on the technology side. There's some machines and things that we want to buy, especially to help supplement and support our metal division. We were going to do that this year. We ended up doing a lot of the logistical things with our auto fleet, our van fleet, our box truck fleet. So next year really is some machines for some of the departments. We have another technology initiative that we've been asked about where we're trying to automate and potentially make public to our customers to where we can order things in a different fashion as well as track online where our customers' products are on our end. So on the millwork side, a lot of tech, machines, facilities, some training, but trying to help under-support, undergird our people so we can do our job more safely, more efficiently. That's the big deal. So, I mean, that's a long list. And it's a short year as the year you get into it. But those are the goals on the two sides.
Sounds like a kind of
Sounds like of all of those, the ones I got the most reaction from you is finishing the lobby.
Yes, so that is
on the list. We will endeavor to make that happen.
I answer to Taylor Travis once a week, and once a week Taylor Travis reminds me that the lobby's not finished.
He would also like in his wheelchair to be able to not have to go over a bump that's 3 inches tall to get into the building.
Yeah.
And it's a double door for the lobby with a ADA entrance threshold.
So I look forward to seeing that get finished.
Yeah, me too. So that's kind of the future stuff. So a lot of exciting things.
Right.
And to your point, and you're teasing me, but a lot of things that we think a lot about. And then literally I'll go make those things. I'll talk to each of the department heads, make sure we're all on the same page. And a lot of these things are just like what you're saying. Everybody knows. We just need to do them. And then we'll roll that out second week in January.
I'm personally excited for that trade school thing for painting, only because it's been kind of one of the things that I've been watching closely since I came on as an intern. So it's good to finally see us.
And we're close. We have the facility to do it in. We have the space to do it in. We have the instructors to do it. We have the curriculum for the first class. We just need to finish printing it up, binding it up, and then we just need to implement it.
Right.
I mean, so we're very close.
Right. All right, we're going to keep moving on here. Often it feels like there's a disconnect between San Antonio and Austin, or even just between the office and the shop. How do you think as a company we can do a better job of feeling more like a big cohesive unit?
So this looks like a submitted question, and there's several questions in there, right?
Yes.
When I first started in a barn, literally a barn, and we started out with one person, and then Andy was here, and we had two people, and Benny was here, and we had three people, and then we grew from there and there. It wasn't until, in terms of office support, till Neil, that there was even two of us, if you will, in management. And so at that time, we could sit around literally in a circle that was a very small circle. So if I wanted to convey an idea, it's very easy to do. You've got three, four, five of us around. You know, what do you think? What do I think? Here's what we're going to do. Then as we have grown, that circle's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And now the circle is such to where literally on any given day, we have people in different regions, right? We have people even at this facility here in San Antonio. There are days that I do not physically see every person in the office. Now imagine it's not just within spitting distance. It's here to Austin. It's if I got in a truck today, which I do on Thursdays with Doug, I can't visit every job site. So again, the challenge is, as we've grown, how do I keep the connectedness that we had 20 some years ago, where there's two, three, four of us in a circle, to now with, you know, the 130 some folks that are spread out regionally everywhere. If I can't even connect with you and you're 20 feet away from me on a daily basis, how do I do that everywhere? How do I convey our values? How do I convey the priorities? How do I keep that connectedness? I think on our end, we got to be looking for multiple ways to touch all of our folks, whether they're in the office, whether they're in a plant, whether in the field, wherever they may be. And so we're doing that now through Taylor's Tidbits on Thursdays. We're doing it through text. We're doing it through, in some areas, through WhatsApp. We're doing it through the website. We're doing it through safety meetings, which are gathering points. We're doing it through foreman's meetings on the paint side. We're doing it through huddles on a daily basis. We're doing it on global, you know, more department-based huddles. So it's communication, but communication in different forms: electronic, direct, text, email. It's communication, and it's communication in different forms over and over and over again, so that people don't feel isolated and alone. You're 20 feet away, and I just said I haven't talked to you in 5 days. However, and I'm asking a question I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
I am assuming that you feel that if you had an issue or question or concern, or if you were just feeling bad and wanted to vent, that you felt you could come and talk to me. Is that true?
Easily. Okay. I could talk to you or anybody else in my department.
So my prayer, my hope is that everybody here feels that way. That has been my experience. So, for example, when I go to Austin, just use that for example, or San Antonio, it doesn't matter. When I walk the plant, I may talk and somebody may ask me a question and I am stopping and they have my undivided attention because that is important. And that person has thought about it. That person has wants to seek out. And so I want to honor that and honor that well. And as long as everybody thinks that, not just of me, but the people that are working with you, the people that are working with Doug, the people that are working with division, foreman, operational heads, as long as your sentence was, I can talk to multiple people, I think this, over time, connects people together. That's my belief. Now, maybe there's outliers there, but those are the things that I'm trying to work on. The other part of the question was between the office and the shop. Again, it starts with respect. I find that sometimes people think that the grass is greener on the other side. Field thinks the grass is greener in the office. I got to be honest. This past week, I've been working in the shop. I have. That's not where y'all need me working. But right now, it's Thanksgiving week. I've kind of taken care of most of my stuff. I think that it helps being out there. Plus, I want to be in the middle of it so I can find problems and the like. So I've taken a few days, and I'm working in the shop. There's part of me that thinks the grass is greener working in the shop, right? Yeah. So it starts with respect. So, for example, somebody in the field may think, you know, I'm getting all this pressure and you don't understand everything that I'm doing, right? And to some degree, maybe that's true. But that person also doesn't realize that I sat here while you took a phone call, not today, but I have before, where I can hear the person's voice through the phone while you're sitting in the back seat. In other words, you are getting reamed, right? And then you hang up that call and you get another person reaming. In other words, sometimes people don't realize all of the pressure and the late nights and the making a plan that gets busted at 7:30 in the morning already. In other words, all of that, you know, on a Saturday and a Sunday and at 10 o'clock at night, I just finished a job that I was helping fill in as the PM. They called every night at 6:20. The one night they didn't, and they called earlier, I was actually kind of cheeky, and I said, I wasn't expecting your call till dinner. Right? It's just people don't realize what you have to put up with and what you got to deal with. Right? And maybe in the office, you might, as an office person, not realize what your man or woman craftsperson feels to. As long as we are both seeking to understand that, as long as we're both working together, I think that's the solution to this. But I can't solve the problem. I'm never going to be able to solve. I need a project manager, your role, the same as we need a craftsperson.
Right.
A craftsperson, and my sentence I always used at the beginning was, I hope that I'm a blessing to you, and I know that you're going to be a blessing to me. Right? I still use that sentence. That's not one then. But I also will say, I need you, and I hope that you need me. Right? In other words, I talked earlier about how much time we spend trying to make sure that people aren't laid off. In this environment, the last few years, people don't realize, you know, because, you know, how difficult that may or may not be in seasons. But the boomer bust cycle, it's a lot of stress, work, effort, dollars to make sure that doesn't happen. And people may not see all the work that happens behind the scenes.
Right.
But as long as they can at least empathize with what you're doing, what I'm doing, using that example, and likewise to what somebody else is doing, whether they're answering the phone, whether they're doing our books, whether they're in the field, I think it all starts with respect.
Right. No, I'm right there with you.
That's way too long of an answer for you.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, though. I remember whenever I was first coming up and you guys had me out in the field, and the whole point of me going out there was to know what those guys deal with every day. And so
that's right. So you can help them.
Right. This is a very important one that I've heard multiple times. How do people get updates about the current events on the company?
Well, again, I mean, we're trying to do that multiple ways.
Weekly newsletter,
while
podcast.
We were coming in here, there's an email or a text from 833.
Right.
That's a reminder. In fact, I think there were two today.
There are, yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what to tell you anymore. I mean,
you got text. You got a weekly.
You got a weekly deal. You got your meetings.
You got the podcast. And then
you said, I can ask anytime I want. I mean, at some point, it's like Popovich. I'm all out of timeouts. What do you want me to do?
Oh, man. We did already kind of touch on the difference in quality of life between the office and the shop. But if you want to highlight anything in particular there.
This is my opinion. Different roles have different constraints. So, for example, if someone's the receptionist, they're going to have an 8-to-5 job. I mean, that's just going to be the hours. It's not like somebody's going to be calling them up at 6 o'clock unless something's on fire. In other words, that's a pretty set deal. I'll be honest, there are very few examples where something is as set. In general, we're going to work 7 to 3:30, 7 to 5 on a long day. In general, Saturdays, we're going to have people working on Saturdays at least till 2 o'clock or 3:30. Mm-hmm. In general, we're not going to work Sundays, although sometimes it happens. In general, we're not going to work nights, although sometimes it happens. But that said, within those hours, we're going to work a lot of them. And in my experience, and it starts with that respect, it can be easy. I'll use myself. I mean, there have been periods of time I work 7 days a week for months and months and months. And you say, well, okay, you know, you're the owner. I didn't choose that. I don't want to do that. There's my job, right? And then there's the owner, right? They're two separate gigs. In my job, I don't want to work 7 days a week, although there are seasons I have.
Right.
There were seasons I'm here all by myself. And I got to tell you, when you're in the middle of that, you're like, nobody understands, you know? And David, you're not helping, and dadgummit, you're out there fishing, right?
Right.
That's how I feel. I have to imagine other people, especially when we're in the crunch seasons, feel the same way. Again, it starts with respect, in my opinion. And I would actually argue that it's the same either way. People just may not realize that. So, for example, somebody could be in the field and they say, well, David's out golfing every weekend. The reality is, that may not be true at all. In other words, you may be coming in on a rotation on Saturdays. You may be fielding calls on a Saturday. Uh-huh. On a Sunday, your afternoon at home. You may be making all your plans for the week, right?
Get work emails a lot on Sundays.
No, that's right. We get inundated with them. In other words, people don't realize all that. You just may handle it and hold it differently. Just because you're not in one spot doesn't mean you're not dealing with it. For example, I go on vacation. You guys all make fun of me. Shoot, I spend an hour and a half every day not vacationing, but fighting fires, dealing with whatever, trying to make sure the ball doesn't get stuck. And my thought is, I'm supporting you guys, and my thought is, I'm taking care of my customer. Now, y'all may argue I've got issues, but that my point is, it's a lot. So somebody may turn around to a project manager and say, I'm having to work all this, and you're just over here telling me what to do. Again, starts with respect. As the example I gave earlier, you have no idea what somebody may be reaming, threatening. You know, some of these guys are just not fun to work with.
Yeah.
You know, just clobbering you, and you're doing everything you can. They're not having to deal with that. All I'm asking you to do is just do your job well during this time. And all the pressures that come with that, they may not realize all the pressures that you're having to experience. And again, that goes both ways. We have to realize, because I'm saying office, you have to realize what you're asking of your field workers, of your craftspeople. Sometimes we're asking them to do Herculean things, right? And we can do that in spurts, but we can't do that
every day, all the time.
Yep. And so I'm trying to say, and I took too many words, is that it starts with respect. I think somebody in the field may not realize the amount of hours, for example, you are having to put in and deal with, right? But I also think that's two ways. You may not realize sometimes. But as long as we are communicating, as long as we're tying it to the overall mission, as long as we're sensitive to those things, I think that's the answer.
So let's springboard into some upcoming things, just kind of miscellaneous stuff that I want to go ahead and knock out. First things first, is there going to be a ham handout this year? Is that happening?
Of course.
Fantastic.
So Christmas Eve, I think, is a Saturday. Christmas is a Sunday.
Right.
So I think the Friday before, so that'd be the 23rd, we're going to knock off at noon. There'll be a ham handout. Everybody come here, celebrate. This is actually a year I will not be here on that day.
Mm.
But I hope whether you're in San Antonio, whether you're in Austin, please please come. I hope it's more than two hands to go haul it out to your car and enjoy the holiday.
Oh, don't worry, the entire paint.
We got a lot of volunteers and helpers. Yeah.
We're already scheduling our day around that so we can help out. And then let's kind of look into some overall global current events. How has the economy affected business this year?
Oh, my goodness. That is a loaded question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just speak frankly. I mean, the last 3-4 years, even more than this year, have just been so difficult at this level. I mean, we have faced each and every one of us individually has had to overcome different things since COVID to today. Our nation has, the world has, and I can tell you all of that has impacted us as a business. So the best way I can say it is it's been very, very difficult, very stressful, and you just kind of go from one extreme to the other. And the way I would say it is this. Pre-COVID, you could pretty much like a metronome count on what was going to happen. You know, insurance market, workload, cost of materials, labor force, regulations. I mean, you knew, you know, shipping, availability of products. I mean, you could just count on, and I guess we took it all for granted, because since then, on any given day, it is whack-a-mole, meaning that, and if working here, it doesn't matter who you are. If in the office, foremen definitely have had to deal with this. Our craftspeople in the field, in the plant facilities, project managers. It's just any given day you wake up and take your axe and go swing it the best you can. But even in this year, even now, there are certain paint products you still can't get. Now, they're specialty now at this point. And, you know, I went to dinner with Sherwin-Williams last week just trying again to figure out our supply chain. We never had to deal with that before. That really messes us up. So to say all that is to say it's difficult to plan in this season. I got all my ideas for next year. We talked about that. And I hope we do them all, and we are going to march towards those doors and that goal. But on any given day, it's whack-a-mole. There's something else we've got to go deal with. You're getting me started on this one. I think the question was, how's it affected business? The answer is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, even on the paint side of things, we had stains from Canada, a very special product coming out of Canada. It's right now, we just got here this week. It's only 3 weeks behind schedule. We're doing okay. You know?
They just laugh, you know? They just laugh. And yet our customer, whatever date they want it on, that's when they want it.
Yeah.
And like, it's out of my control. Right. Anyway.
How's the election affected business? What should we be expecting leading up to this upcoming presidential election?
Well, I think when this was submitted, it was probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the elections happened.
Right. We're talking about presidential election.
That's what I'm assuming. Oh, presidential.
Presidential,
election.
Not midterm.
Oh, not midterm. Ah, I misread the question.
He's thinking all the craziness and chaos that's going
to
take
place.
Well,
I mean, I think my sentence that I've used to everybody is, one, you need to go vote. You know, it's part of your civic responsibility and duty. A lot of people don't. I'd encourage you to vote. Whatever side you're going to vote on, I think you ought to go vote. Second thing I would ask you to consider is, no matter what your dad did, no matter what grandpa did, your mom did, you make your decision, and I would say that policies matter, right? So it's more than just the person, because some of these people I may not terribly, you know, be super excited about, but the policies do matter. Now, for some people, social policies mean more than others. They're very important. They're very real, and I respect that. So go vote the way that you feel you need to vote. I just encourage you to vote. Your question is, or what was submitted was, how do elections affect the business? There are sets of policies. Those policies are financial, banking related, taxing, incentive related, immigration. Those policies very much impact our business. Your first question when we started was, what do? We are predominantly commercial businesses. That right. means if you're going to go build a building, which you and I are going to paint or go put the cabinets in, most likely you're going to borrow the money. And if you have to borrow the money at 7 pretty soon here, almost 8%, if not 8%, your deal may not make, meaning you may say, to heck with it, I'm not going to build the building. So when that happens, you and I don't have a job.
Right.
Right? There's nothing. So that's the problem is there's the policies that they put in place have created this problem that is completely their creation, which then both to stop it, they have to implement raising these rates, tightening the currency, right?
Right.
Which means that you push us into recession. And so it very much impacts us. So I just told you a minute ago how hard the dadgum thing has been. We're not done yet. We're going to have to live through this next thing. So it's just whack-a-mole, and they're just not helping, in my opinion.
Just keeps on coming.
Yeah. So the question people ask, and I told you, I feel it's my job. So I'm sitting here messing with all this, right?
Right.
I'm thinking about all this. You know, you got a zillion lawyers and policy people and that kind of thing, just trying to help figure out how to navigate it so that I can help take care of everybody. And what it means for us, I believe, people ask is, you know, what's going to happen next year? I think, Lord bless you, and you live in Texas. And Texas is going to be last in, first out, and it will be shallower. So I fully expect, and I've been saying on this thing for months now, I fully expect that we will have a slowdown. I don't think it's going to be massive at this moment. I don't. But I think you're going to have a slowdown, and I think for us it'll be summer, into the summer, Q3, Q4 by the time it gets to us. That's what I believe.
Pretty good answer. So now that we've got the doom and gloom out of the way with the upcoming elections and just how terrible everything is.
Well, hang on. Within that, I disagree with that. In that, and I'll shut up here. I will. But that's life, right?
Right.
That's life. In that, it may not be what I want or what you want, but my job is to go figure it out.
Right.
Right? Tell me what the rules are. We used to work with gentlemen. Tell me what the rules are. I'll tell you how to play. That's our job. That's my job, right? We talk about respecting each other. That's part of the deal. Part of the deal is for you, for Tim, for people in the field, is to have the confidence that on my end, I'm looking out a year from now,
right,
with my group to try and figure out how to navigate this. And so the challenge for us is, even if it's crummy, that doesn't dictate my happiness or my value or my, in other words, that's life.
Right.
And so we're just going to figure it out. Now, they could sure make it a lot easier, right? But I'm responsible for my response, and it's a challenge.
Right.
Like I need another challenge right now. Well, you know, I don't want that, but, right, let's go do it.
Yeah. Put the best foot forward.
And that's right. Yeah, correct.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the next little question. This one's a little bit more fun for me personally because I like to know how your brain works, and this one's exciting.
Good luck.
Yeah. What inspires you every day?
I think if you took my personality type, what it would say my driver is impact, right?
Right.
What that would mean for us is I like to build stuff. You know, I like to build when sometimes I'm not very successful, David. But, you know, I like to build people. I like to build businesses. I like to build families. I like to build groups. I like to build missions. I like to build products. I just like to build stuff. You know, I like that challenge of taking all the pieces, figuring it out, and building something that lasts beyond me. You know, so I'm fifth generation. You know, we're making documentary videos that detail the past, you know, 100 and whatever it's been now, 130 some years. Is that right? Yeah. Why? You know, there's that aspect of me that just likes impact. I'd like to know, and I think a lot of people do, but my personality especially drives on, did what I do matter, right?
Right.
Did it matter to you? Did it matter to someone else here? And that's a big driver. Now, other personalities, it might be acceptance. Other personalities might be achievement. You know, mine's impact. Mine is, I like to build stuff.
Have you ever started any businesses that failed? And if so, how did you overcome that failure?
So, yes, and yes. So, I guess, I mean, first is for our main business, and we almost went bankrupt in 2003. I mean, not many people know that, but, I mean, it was such a challenging year. It was only through an agreement I had with a staffing company out of Corpus that literally pulled us out on that one. Now, maybe I could have gone to family or something like that. I didn't make it that far. But in terms of banks, cash, it was just such a crushing year. And we were young. We were 5, 6 years old at that point. And I didn't have the network, the resources, and I made some stupid decisions. And then I had some things that just didn't go our way. And I didn't have all the help that we would need. So, for example, out of that experience, I went and hired Doug, right, who also had overcome some challenges. It was just a tough time. And what I would say then, your question is, how'd you overcome that? I did what you teased me for earlier. I went and sat under a tree, took my black book, made my list, and said, as long as I live, I will not deal with this again. And so how do I stop that? Well, some of it was people. Some of it was me. Some of it was different things. And then my goal was to go knock them all out so that I wouldn't be in that particular boat again. Now, I flub up other junk, and then we got to go deal with that, right?
Right.
But I haven't had to deal with that one since then. So out of that, though, very much, you know, it's through failure. You come up with a lot of ways you could have, would have, should have, and rather have done it. It's just very, very painful. The other business one is we had a door business, and just we lost tons of money, lost essentially everybody in that department, maintained some of the capability, but it was just such a – I didn't know how to do it well. I couldn't get in with the vendors properly, so there was this barrier to entry, so I couldn't compete well. It was a distribution more business rather than manufacturing and service. So it's a different aspect. I just royally blew that, messed that up, and didn't have the right people to pull that off. And so essentially shut it down. Literally had to go to every customer, every vendor, and just literally, you know, the space that we're reusing, we repurposed. We literally had to let everybody go. It was awful. But I wasn't doing them any favors. We were not successful. We needed to keep the part that worked and get rid of everything else. So that's an example. I also had a residential cabinet business, and I did the same thing there in that I did that for several years. Actually, if you'd hung on to that one the last few years, you probably would have done great. But at that particular time, again, same deal. It was similar but different enough to where I just could not do that successfully. So we do residential cabinets now, but – it's usually a friend of a friend. It's, you know, it's a customer you're doing. They're more connected favors, if you will, rather than what we do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are two examples. And again, same thing. That one was a bloodbath as well. And just you got to, you know, meaning that you lose your arm and a leg monetarily. Right. And you had to let the people go, which is awful. But again, I wasn't helping them at all. They were not going to be able to be successful because I didn't have the tools.
Right.
And so in both those instances, as part of that process, literally called people to help place people, right? So I think door business was like 4 people. The residential business, I think, was like 7. We absorbed some. The others made sure they all had a home. You know, so you spend a lot of time trying to make sure that as people exit, they got a place to go.
Right.
And then we closed that thing up.
So when it comes to dealing with failure and stuff like that, would you say that your process is much more of a, okay, well, mistakes were made, we failed, let's figure out what those mistakes were and then ensure that we don't repeat them in the future and that we can mitigate and deal with any of the damage that comes your way? Or how would you, like, what is your process when you go through something like that, mentally, personally? How do you evaluate that situation and come out on top on the other side?
Well, so failure, personally, I will crawl in a hole for a little bit of time, right?
Right.
So there's kind of this grief, shock, self-exploration process that, you know, may take a little bit. Out of that, my black book of all the things that I could have, would have, should have. So in other words, I do a postmortem, essentially.
Right.
And then out of that, what do I need to do differently, right? In the work environment, but in general, and then I'll talk about work, my personality is very probably clinical, forward-thinking. you know, not flippant, because it does matter very much so. I feel it. But as you kind of suggested, and I guess you've observed, my personnel is very much, here's where we're at. How do I get out of this for everybody? How do I not end up in this again?
Right.
Right? And when I'm ended up in it again a few years from now, well, okay, that's something in me. I need to give that to somebody else. So flipping then to work, examples are 2003. So 2003, I decided that I was an okay operations person, but that wasn't my strongest suit, right? So out of that failure there, and it was my mismanaging something was not the reason we were in that. However, as part of that process, I decided that the things that were a problem, I could never get to because I was spending all my time managing the projects.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then my other conclusion was, I think I'm a pretty good project manager. I think I'm pretty good at that. I think I can see things that I can't. However, I think there are people that are not just as good as I am, but better. And so out of that, for example, reaching out to Doug purely to solve my deficiency.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear me say best idea wins. You know, there's no sacred cows. So in that sense, I would say, and maybe you've observed again, that I don't care how we fix it. Let's just fix it. If I'm the problem, then cut me out of it. I mean, there are people here that, again, like Doug, are here purely because I could do that role, but I'm not good enough to do it long term.
Right.
You know, so let's get somebody in there who can be better. Right. I mean, I sit around the table with you guys. You know, I may not even have an idea that day. You know, meaning that, you know, you guys got it. You got, you know, you'll hear me say, that's brilliant. And then we're riffing on whatever you were talking about.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm just there to help agree with you so that you can go do it.
Right.
And I view that way about the roles too. You know, so if I fail at something, maybe the issue's me. You know, maybe I can't. Maybe my personality, or maybe at this stage in life, I'm just not the right person to do that.
Right.
You know? So, for example, one of your deals on future expansion, somebody asks, you know, what's next? I got lots of ideas. But some of the ultimate, like, for example, regional expansion on Millwork, that may not be me. That may be you guys.
Right.
Or whoever's next. Not that I couldn't, but I think I'd be better served doing all things with excellence with what we're doing now, and the heavy lifting required for that may not be me.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me.
You know, and I would say on that, you know, earlier you talked about, you know, you could always come to me and talk to me about stuff. I would add to that, it doesn't matter in the plant, in the field. People, I hope, and my experience has been, not just that I'm accessible, but I have people come with, hey, you're doing this, and I see you doing it, and I don't like how you're doing it. All right?
Yeah.
Meaning that I got that 20 minutes before I walked in here.
Right.
You know, I see this. I think there's a better way you could do it. In other words, I hope that not just accessible, but people know me well enough to know that I'll try and go figure it out, even if I'm part of the problem.
Right.
You know, and I think one of the big deals for me at the moment is sometimes the decisions aren't fast enough. I'll make 90% of them split second, and then a few of them I don't want to figure it out. That's usually my trigger that I got to figure it out.
Right.
Something's bothering me, but finding the time to get over that. I mean, I got to figure out how to get that quicker,
yeah.
For an example.
Well, we're all working on ourselves every day, so that makes sense to me. All righty.
Is that all of them?
Mr. John Travis, we have knocked out.
You'll never do this again. I think I talked for over an hour.
That's a problem for the editor. Good luck, Tim. No, but thank you very much for coming out. It's always a pleasure having these conversations with you.
Thank you, and thank you for the questions that everybody submitted. Mm-hmm. Some of these... they're very important,
yes.
And I hope that I answered them, even if you didn't agree, at least satisfactory, so you know where my head is.
Right. And we do appreciate it every time one of our listeners interacts with us and gives us questions and things to go ahead and approach and answer and solve. We appreciate all of the active listening, and we're extremely grateful for everybody who takes the time to listen to us ramble for however long it is that we ramble here on this podcast.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for coming out. Appreciate it.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to listen to some of our archives, please go to traviscompanies.com/podcasts. And I'd also like to tell you that at the bottom of that page is a link to a form. If you would like to leave some feedback, a question, a concern, or a comment on something that you've heard, we'd encourage you to do that. We look forward to hearing from you, and thanks for listening.